We started our study in Revelation 2 on our fourth church, and that is the church at Thyatira. We learned a lot from the church at Pergamos about how Satan took a seat in the church, and that seat was a throne, and how he started persuading the church there. And the Lord said that he had that against them. We also got into now the church of Thyatira, which is basically Pergamos and Thyatira fit together in the beginning of Catholicism. And we'll get into all this. I have done a lot of study on this, and it's going to shock you at some things I'll come up with on this. But we want to go to chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. This will be our study tonight. What little time we have, we'll have to end early because we've got something we need to talk to the church about. In verse 18, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto flames of fire, and feet like unto fine brass. Lord said, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last be more than the first." He's talking about the works. He mentioned works twice, didn't he? And he said, and when he talks about his works, he said, I know your works. And then he ended it with, I know your works. And then he says, the last of I know thy works is more than the first. So he's saying, I think he's giving them great credit here. So the Lord here, we've already talked about Jezebel. We're going to get more on Jezebel. Jezebel is the key to what this is all about. But we're going to get into that later, maybe a week or two. But right now we want to look at this that we just read, which is very important to us. So this describes Jesus here. He says in verse 18 that this saith who? The Son of God. He had not recognized himself in all of this as the Son of God until now. Because he wants people to understand that his power, his glory, his authority, his teachings is more important than this old Jezebel that was in there, causing division and causing trouble. Jesus wanted these people to understand that he is strong. When he says his eyes are like unto flames of fire, and his feet are like unto fine brass, he wants you to understand that he is strong, he is omniscient, he is infallible, and he has the absolute truth of God, because he is God. So all he has is truth. There's nothing besides him. There is no truth besides that of God. The truth doesn't exist outside of God. So anything that opposes the word of God in any way is a lie. It is not truth. And when they go against it, they make God a liar, like he talked about in 1 John 5, when he talked about salvation and the gospel. And he says, this is how salvation is. This is how you're saved. And if you don't believe this, then you calling me a liar, calling God a liar. Go to Revelation 1, if you will. In Revelation 1, when the Lord is described here, first of all, in verse 1, he says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the making known, the revelation, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by the angels unto the servant John. So while the angels came to God John and took him up into heaven in a spirit, the first time that the Lord's taken someone up into spirit and brought them back, and that's what he did with John, because Jesus wanted to reveal all this to him. And we see that in chapter 4. When Jesus comes forth, and as the only one that's qualified, the only one that's able to reveal the things revelations of the tribulations and the rest of everything that's followed tribulations, because it is he that's going to open the seals and bring these judgments. So he's showing John everything's going to happen. But drop down to verse 14 now. And he said, his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flaming fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went short 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know, this just tells us right here what it's like to be before the Lord Jesus Christ, what it's like to be before God. But just the Shekinah glory of God himself, of what we will see, will make us as though we just fall dead to him. And he laid his right hand upon me, excuse me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So I have all of these things. This is who I am, the Lord said. This horrible monster that's in the church at Thyatira is nothing, is nobody. Everybody else, and we're going to go to Daniel 10 next. Everybody else is a nothing compared to God, is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has all power, all authority. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is all holy. There is everything right about him and nothing wrong about him. And this thing called a woman, that the Lord calls her Jezebel, we're not even sure if that's really her name. The Lord called her Jezebel, because she's compared to the Jezebel of the Old Testament, Ahab's wife, which we're going to get into in a few weeks to explain that over in the Old Testament and explain the comparison between Babylonian belief and Catholicism. It's important people know these things, because these things are not being taught anymore. It's important that we not fail, that we understand these things and carry them with us every day in our life. Every Sunday that we worship, every Wednesday that we worship, every time we read the Word of God, we need to remember these things. Because the world is full of Jezebel. The world is full of harlots. The world is full of false prophets. The world is full of wrong. Listen, Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Verse 5 and 6, he says, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz, and his body was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as a lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like in the color to polished brass, and his voice And the voice of his words was like unto a multitude of roaring waters, of roaring, raging fires. Just name whatever multitude you want to. You say, well, this is God he's talking about. It's Jesus too. Isn't Jesus God? Isn't the Son of God like unto his Father? He has the seed of his Father in him. He was born with that seed. Don't fear, beloved. Never fear. Our God is more than everything else that exists. Everything in the world is nothing but a drop of sand and a seed compared to our God. Churches have lost their candlestick because they have fear. Because bad things happen. Because money goes down, attendance goes down. All of a sudden they want money, they want attendance. So how do you get it in this world? You believe the truth of God's word. You surrender to the world. You give them what they want. What's the world want right now? It's all about transgenderism right now, isn't it? Abortion used to be the big thing, right? Now it's transgenderism. They want to take our children and brainwash them. It just goes on and on. Satan never stops. He just keeps rolling. He never surrenders. He never gives in. He's never defeated. He will be. He has been, and he will be. How was he? When was the last time Satan suffered a great defeat? When Jesus Christ was crucified on that cross. And we were given victory in Christ. In the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we won the victory. We weren't even there. Except in the mind and heart of Jesus Christ. Our sins were there because Jesus carried them with him to the cross. Albert Barnes wrote these words: before the glance of his eyes, all is light. And nothing can be concealed from his view. Nothing would be better suited to inspire awe than as nothing should be now, than such a reference to the Son of God as being able to penetrate the secret recesses of the heart. God knows everything, folks. Jesus knows everything. Churches don't hide from him. Christians don't hide from him. The world doesn't hide from him. And nobody beats him. Israel will have victory because God's promised they would. We're going to have victory because God promised we would. We will never surrender because God's got us by the control of his hand. Jesus holds us. We will never surrender. As long as he says, you will never surrender. Jezebels or not. Benny Hinn's. Oral Roberts. All the others out there in the world can say or do whatever they want to. Bring all the false doctrine. Bring all the hate against Sovereign Grace Baptist churches. And our teachers. They can laugh at us. They can mock at us. The Lord sees them. But he sees us too, doesn't he? He sees our hearts in this time. This is all about us, folks. We're in the time present. Everything has to do with the time present in this passage of Scripture. This is to the church age. So So he says, back in our text in verse 18 in chapter 2 of Revelation, he says that the Son of God wrote this, and his eyes are like unto flames of fire. He just burns in. Then we give to the second part, who hath his eyes unto the flames of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Brother E.G. Cooks had this to say about this: the brass in the scriptures speaks of judgment. Not only does he see with his eyes of flaming fire, he judges with his feet of fine brass. So he not only sees through all their mystic doings, but he will, in due time, judge it. Yes, he will. He will judge them. He will judge them that harm the churches, that you're going to hear for the next month. No telling how much smoke will, old gray smoke will come out of that thinking chimney before they finally pick another pope. They want to ride this. They'll ride it just as long and hard as they can to get everybody's attention on the Vatican and on Catholicism. That old devil, he will use anything he can. And that old harlot over there in Rome will do everything she can to bring all attention to them, having everybody feel sorry for them. The devil. I don't care if I offend them. Someone told me on Facebook this week when I put something on there, you know, you're going to offend a lot of Catholic Christians. I said, well, there may be some Christians, but I'm not afraid, and I do not regret offending the Roman Catholic Church. I do not. For what they've done in history of this world, murdering Christians the way they have, is unthinkable. And will be unforgivable to the Lord. He will judge them for it. So the Lord Jesus Christ is pure, holy in all of his ways. And by this, that will be judged. He will always, we will always need to be aware of the judgments of Jesus someday. Even Christians. Even us, our works will be judged by fire. Some will be burned up. And so many Christians who worked all their life, unawares that they were doing it falsely, will have all of their precious works that they worked so hard for in this life because of their ignorance of the Word of God, and they did not know what they did was false, that it hurt them more than they thought it would, and they're going to have it all burned up. Nothing wrong or nothing false concerning his word will be unjudged. Lord tells them every word you'll be judged for. Every thought you'll be judged for. Now, Christians, our sins are forgiven us, aren't they? But our works and the Word and God and then the church, we are must to do those things for the Lord. If we don't do the work for the Lord, who else is going to do it? If this church does not stand true to the Lord and do the works of the Lord and get the gospel out to the world, who else is going to do it? Who else can be trusted to the gospel? Nobody. You know why? Because the Lord entrusted it to the church. To the church at Jerusalem. To the church at Antioch. To the church at Philippi. To the church at Corinth. To the church at Thyatira. Church at Pergamos. Church of Ephesus, all the way down the line to the Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Chester County. The Lord has entrusted the gospel to go from this institution out into the world. Yes, we will be judged for those things. Sixth. Then the Lord breaks this church's message into two parts. First, he addresses the church as a whole in verses 18 through 23. We'll look at all this. In verse 18, the first part, he says, "And unto the angel," that's the pastor, "of the church in Thyatira write." So this is the message to the church at Thyatira, to the pastor, to give to the whole congregation. Now drop down, if you're over there in chapter 2 of Revelation, to verse 24. Then we see him write to the people of the era in this church. Not all of them were era. Not all of Pergamos was era. Not all of Ephesus was era. These were large congregations. Most churches back then were 25 to 50,000 people, some of them. It's said that Thyatira was one of the smaller ones. So they weren't 25 or 50, maybe they were 20, maybe they were 50. Still a lot of people in the churches back then. In verse 24, the first part, he says, "And then unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira," that's the church, "as many as have not this doctrine." In other words, this, starting at verse 24 to the end of this church's message, is written to those that were in error. We're going to get into these, and we're going to learn what each one of these writings were. And we're going to learn that they were written and given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of the living God. They are not to be snirked at, they are not to be laughed at, they are not to be mocked, they are not to be violated. The scriptures is never, listen folks, the scripture is never, ever, ever, ever to be violated. It is absolute truth and nothing but truth. This means the entire church was not in error, because he had two messages, didn't he? But the entire church is harmed, aren't they? The church suffers together, don't they? And punished together. It rains on the unjust and just alike, doesn't it? The Lord said that, doesn't it? Tornadoes come through villages, they, and towns, and cities, and states. They don't just go to the lost people's houses. They don't go to just their businesses. They go everywhere. They just make a big, wide cut through there. Let's go to our next point, our fourth point. I've got just a couple minutes. I'm going to get started on this, and I'll let Justin, we'll close the service and let Justin have his word. So we see the Lord's praise for the church in verse 19. The Lord said, "I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works," again, "and the last works to be more than the first." I know what you're doing. This is more praise for this church than any of the seven thus far. Every church should seek these praises from the Lord. This should be this church's goal, is to seek these praises from the Lord. Lord don't praise us. Well, sure, he's good and faithful servant. But job well done, the Lord said. Yes, the Lord does. He rewards us according to them. He gives us crowns. He gives us all kinds of accolades and all kinds of rewards when we leave this earth and go be with him in the heavens. The church members are the bride of Christ. Not everybody's saved. That don't even make sense. Just like the old Protestant church, the Universal Episcopal Church, doesn't make sense. None of that stuff makes sense. So they'll be rewarded, the faithful church members. We have to be faithful to the Lord to get these things. So we're going to end right there. I'll get you thinking on next week. And we'll pick up from there next week. And the reason I'm ending early is because Justin has something he needs to talk to church real bad about. So, without further ado, we're going to stand. And we're going to be dismissed. We're not going to the business meeting or anything. But Justin has something to say, and once he's done, we're discuss it whatever we need to as a church. And then we're going to, let me kill this. And then we're going to start figuring out